one of the things that we want to do with Stay Tranquilo, and you guys obviously do an amazing job of that as well, but we want to grow the game amongst the U.S. Hispanic audience, Latino audience, and the Caribbean audiences. But what are some of the initiatives that the tour is doing right now to kind of help grow in that in that audience and those demographics?
Sure. You know, the PGA Tour, we take a lot of pride in being a worldwide brand, and we look for markets and areas where there's a huge potential, and certainly the Latin American Hispanic communities is one of those of those areas. What happens when we get to those audiences and we come to non-US based properties? Nico, who won in Puerto Rico and is a top player on the PGA Tour now, he grew up watching Camila Villegas, right? And he said, one day I want to grab a golf club and play.
Right.
When that was happening, we didn't have the reach that we have now. So we're hoping that, and banking on the fact that there's 10 guys now that are watching Nico who want to do the same thing.
Exactly.
And so, but providing that opportunity, and when your question was good, because it's also recreational, right? You can't, not everyone's going to grow up on the PGA Tour.
Exactly.
And so to get someone out and play three or four holes or five or six holes and look at the beauty is fantastic.
It's Daniel, aka Pooch, taking a break from behind the camera to let you know that this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp, a completely online therapy service designed and suited to all your individual needs. Sometimes things that stay tranquilo can get a little stressful, and we've had our fair share of challenges that we have to get through. And the possibility of having a therapist in our corner can be that factor that gives us a drive, motivation, and determination to keep bringing our vision to life and sharing what we create with all of you. So if you think a therapist might bring you those same benefits, give BetterHelp a try. Just fill out a brief questionnaire on their website and get matched with a licensed therapist today. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/tranquilo to get 10% off your first month today. That's BetterHelp, HELP/tranquilo. And now let's get back to our regularly scheduled program.
What's up, everybody? We are here at the Corrales Punta Cana Championship. We're here with John Norris, Senior Vice President of the Tournament Business Affairs. Yep. So thanks again for taking the time. And I mean, what beautiful place to be and have this type of conversation here.
My pleasure. This doesn't really feel like work right now. So it's pretty amazing location.
Yeah, there's definitely worse places to be, I'd say. But first thing I wanted to ask you about was, can you tell us a little bit about what your role is on the tour and kind of what your job is, essentially?
Sure. I oversee the tournament business group. And if you think of it from a golf and business standpoint, we have one group that is responsible for all the competition inside the ropes. And then another group, my group has 35 events that we're the business consultants for everything outside the ropes. So sales, marketing, business development, legal, finance, pretty much everything other than the competition, we work, our team works week in and week out with each tournament. So this week, it's the group at Grupo Punta Cana, and we're their business consultants if they need help with ticketing or they need help with marketing or how do I get a player to a certain location, all those types of things. So it's a pretty big responsibility, but amazing team week to week that's traveling on the road.
A lot of moving parts and a lot of people obviously involved. How long have you been with the tour now?
Almost 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so I've seen a big evolution.
A lot of change over the last 20 years.
A lot of change.
For sure. So can you tell us a little bit about the history of this tournament, right? Now it's been a few years now where it's been here at the Corrales Punta Cana location. Can you tell us about how that's kind of evolved in Punta Cana specifically?
Sure. The first couple of years we were here were part of the Corn Ferry Tour. And we're always looking for opportunities to continue to grow our relationships with our sponsors and the communities. And we were so embraced by not just Grupo Punta Cana, but the whole region, that when an opportunity came to have it be a regular PGA Tour event, they jumped at that opportunity, as did we, because they're such amazing partners. And when you get to go to a location that has all the ingredients, they have a fantastic resort, which our players love, you know, rolling out of bed and getting to the first tee.
Yeah.
A very competitive and beautiful golf course and world-class hospitality, it made for a perfect match.
No, absolutely. I mean, the property itself is pristine. You got all these beautiful houses on the course. I haven't seen the hotel itself. There is a hotel on property as well?
Yes, there's a Westin.
Okay.
That is probably, you could walk if you were felt like getting a lot of exercise, but it's a 2-minute ride.
Okay.
And it's part of the resort, and they also have Tortuga Bay, which is a little further down, which is part of the property. And it's just amazing.
Yeah, it really is. It is incredible. Can you tell us a little bit also, obviously RBC is going on the same week, right? That's a signature event now in South Carolina. But what is the significance of having this event at, you know, simultaneously with that going on? Obviously you have a lot of big names here, but the field here is actually pretty significant as well. You got guys like Joel Damon, Nico Javeria, which Joel also won here as well. Right. You got Charlie Hoffman, Hogard, you know, who just came off the Masters. So considering everything going on, it's still a pretty good field, the largest ever. I know you were mentioning that yesterday and largest purse. So what really is the significance of Corrales Punta Cana?
I think, if you talk about, we'll talk about the field in a second. I just watched Charlie Hoffman putt, and he just had his 500th PGA Tour start, which is pretty amazing, a couple weeks ago.
He's playing great golf right now.
He is playing fantastic golf. He almost won the WM Phoenix Open.
It's really hard for him there.
You've got Billy Horschel, who won the FedEx Cup. You have Francesco Molinari, who won the Open Championship. And so I think it shows you the balance of power and talent on the PGA Tour, that you can have 70 or so great players and then another 120 plus here. And it's still, there's so many great players. And the Masters is an event that, you know, has a different vibe than pretty much everything else. It gets people really excited about golf, and it just follows into the next 2 weeks where you've got two great PGA Tour events happening at the same time. And the stories that are created on this event, if you look back the last couple of years, they've gone on. You mentioned Nicolai. He finished second last year. Matt Wallace, who's injured, can't be here this year. Right. So he finished the second. What does he do after that? He goes and makes the Ryder Cup team. The winning Ryder Cup team, unfortunately. It goes on and is on the first page of the leaderboard at the Masters.
Yep.
And it would have been very easy for him, and it's a tribute to this place, very easy for him to say, you know what, I've had a tough stretch and I'm going to take a week off. But he's so passionate about golf and this property and what it did for him to launch his career that he said, nope, I'm gonna get on a plane and I'm gonna go play again.
Yeah.
So it's pretty neat.
It is awesome. And we were having a conversation offline, and one of the things that we noticed was there was a couple guys that did withdraw from this tournament prior. And I was like, how can you withdraw from this place? You know, this place is obviously there's probably things that happen and life happens, right? But I mean, it is pristine out here and the course is impeccable. But that takes me actually to my next point. One of the things that we want to do with Stay Tranquilo, and you guys obviously do an amazing job of that as well, but we want to grow the game amongst the U.S. Hispanic audience, Latino audience, and the Caribbean audiences, not only just on the player side, but on the recreational side, getting more people to just be around the game of golf, right? You come out here, you see this, and you're going to gravitate to this, right? It's just beautiful. And then you appreciate the art of the game itself, and it's impeccable. But what are some of the initiatives that the tour is doing right now to kind of help grow in that that audience and those demographics?
Sure. You know, the PGA Tour, we take a lot of pride in being a worldwide brand, and we look for markets and areas where there's a huge potential, and certainly the Latin American Hispanic communities is one of those areas. We have PGA Tour España, which is a complete social media in Spanish directed at our Spanish-speaking fans and wannabe fans. We tell a lot of stories about our Spanish-speaking players. We have... for example, what happens when we get to those audiences and we come to non-US based properties is you have someone who watches someone from Latin America, or I'll use Colombia as an example. Right. So Nico, who won in Puerto Rico and is a top player on the PGA Tour now, he grew up watching Camilo Villegas, right? And he said, one day I want to grab a golf club and play.
Right.
When that was happening, we didn't have the reach that we have now. So we're hoping that, and banking on the fact that there's 10 guys now that are watching Nico who want to do the same thing.
Exactly.
And so, but providing that opportunity, and when your question was good, because it's also recreational, right? You can't, not everyone's going to grow up on the PGA Tour.
Exactly.
And so to get someone out and play 3 or 4 holes or 5 or 6 holes and look at the beauty is fantastic. And then you've got the developmental tours with PGA Tour Americas. And then, for example, our title sponsor of the Mexico Open, the Salinas family, they're sponsoring a program called ARA. And that, the basically, they're trying to get and provide opportunities for potential professionals they identify as really big talent. And they're trying to remove the obstacles of what it costs and how to do all that. And I think you're going to see, as a matter of fact, you had one of their players with the Ara hat at the Masters, which was pretty cool.
That is cool.
And I think it's going to exponentially grow as we pay more attention. And it's important to us, and it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, no, it's a large demographic. Obviously, they represent a lot of different industries and a lot of different sports. Like when you're speaking about the marketing side of things, right? It's a growing demographic in the United
For
States.
Sure.
It's the largest growing right now in the States. Obviously, you're getting an influx from a lot of those South American countries. Cuba, obviously, especially being from Miami, you got a bunch of people that are second, third generation Hispanics, right? And those are the ones that, you know, are going to drive the market at the end of the day, right? Especially when you see kind of some of these metrics and where a lot of brands want to move their dollars to. I think that's the thing that's really intriguing, because if you're going to find a way to reach new audiences, you got to be very culturally relevant, I guess you can say, right? And this, I think, is a great opportunity. Puerto Rico Open is obviously a great opportunity. Mexico Open being another one. And then you have the PGA Tour Americas, right?
Which,
if that can be amplified in a way as well, like, hey, look at also all these additional things we're going on. We have the tournament going on in Brazil right now, which is really cool, right? So those are little things that I can see, right, with a lot of potential where, hey, I'm a six-year-old kid in Brazil and I want to go watch that tournament. Now all of a sudden I've gravitated to the game, and then hopefully, you know,
That young person, we take it as a responsibility to grow the different segments of not just fans, but people playing the game, mm-hmm. right? Because a lot of the countries you're talking about, they've never thought about golf. And now all of a sudden, it's become a more cool sport. The clothing, the shoes, the hats, the brands, and our stars are young and they're athletes, right? And so I think it's changing the whole dynamic of a young Hispanic kid saying, I want to play, you know, whatever sport they're playing, whether it's soccer or baseball, or to say, you know what, that golf's pretty cool, and I have someone I can look up to, and is really neat. And we have to do everything we can to tell that story.
Absolutely. No, I agree. I think something I'm very passionate about, my grandparents are Cuban, so I've always kind of just gravitated to my culture, obviously, which it's weird because some people are not like that. Some people are almost like not proud to represent where they're from, which totally understand that too. But I've seen the gap in that space, and I'm like, you know what? I want to kind of take this on. I love golf.
Yeah.
Not the best golfer, but I love
golf. That's fine. That's fine. Same with me.
I mean, when you're out here, you can't beat it. So we're actually sitting right next to what's called the Devil's Elbow, right? Mm. A very tough stretch of three holes, 16, 17, 18. Wind is pretty much always in your face when you play here. Do you have a core memory of this stretch from some past tournaments?
Yeah, I think, you know, just looking back on the last 2, 3, 4 years, it's not often when you can combine the pressure to win a PGA Tour event on 16, 17, and 18, no matter where, is huge. Mm-hmm. The beauty is, I mean, it's hard not to be distracted if you're at Pebble Beach or if you're here. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the pressure of trying to win a lot of the times for the first time, and you have the conditions. The wind's always blowing. You can never come out here and say, I hope the wind's not blowing. It's like, if it blows 20, you're happy. Mm-hmm. And so you take all those things, the competitive piece, the beauty, and the pressure. And you look at, you know, last year, I'll just go back the last couple of years. So with Matt Wallace winning, he came from behind. He had Nicolai charging. Nicolai finishes second and then goes on an amazing run. And Matt has had a great last year too, without besides the fact that he's injured. The year before that, when you had Chad Ramey win, what was amazing to me was it was his first win, but the emotion that Ben Martin had when you watch the interview with him, I mean, I got goosebumps because he was almost shaking it in tears of what it meant to him to be in contention and feel the pressure of whether you're doing a penalty kick or relieving in the ninth inning of a baseball game. An athlete understands that and wants to thrive on it. And he was so emotionally overtaken by the last three holes and what it meant to him. And then the year before, when Joel won, you know, it's hilarious. He's winning and his wife's running on, his hat blows off, Gino is caddy. Jumps over and you can't see the bunker. It's like he just jumped off into infinity. And so that was amazing. But even as good as Joel's win was, and I'll never take that away from him because it catapulted his career to what he is now and for Netflix and everything else. But what I remember from that event, when you talk about Hispanic community, is Rafa Campos. So I've gotten to know Rafa very well over the last 5, 6 years. He's a player from Puerto Rico. Yeah. And when he plays in the Puerto Rico Open, he's a superstar. And he came on the leaderboard, three holes to go, tied for the lead, lost by one shot, that gave him, by finishing second, an opportunity to go on a stretch of other PGA Tour events.
That's awesome.
And so those are just three examples of every year coming down the stretch with the pressure that's on him and the conditions is pretty special.
Absolutely.
Place.
I think that's a great point, too, the whole pressure aspect, because I'm looking at it. That's not even like processing in my head, but it's true. You're staring over this water and you're like, I got to hit a shot right now. And sometimes you might be down a stroke and you might be forced to be a little bit more aggressive, right? So that is a good point. It looks beautiful, but when you're standing over that tee box, it may not feel so beautiful.
And when, to your point, in perfect conditions, golf's hard enough.
Exactly.
But when Mother Nature decides and someone says, oh, it's blowing 15 to 25. Well, 25 is a lot different than 15.
Absolutely.
And to your point, that shot that clears there ends up in the water or not. And then so.
Yeah, one miss it and you have a little bit of spin on the ball. You're going right down.
And you're looking at a double bogey out of the gate. So yeah, it's a pretty special stretch of holes.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I appreciate the time.
I think it's my pleasure.
It was a great conversation.
My pleasure.
And again, I think there's not a better place to have this. And it's impressive what you guys have put together.
Thank you.
Corrales has done obviously an amazing job too, putting this together. And we'll definitely be back. So,
well, anything I can ever do, whether it's on a golf course or off, just feel free, because we got the same goal in mind.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. My pleasure. It.